Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
And what a blessing we have today. We have Reverend C.L. Bryant with us, just a man on fire for God, a man on fire for our country, a man on fire for our republic. And C.L. was our very first podcast interview. And so now as we approach episode 100, we are so blessed to have C.L. back with us again to celebrate our 100th episode. And we have been blessed to have listeners in over 23 countries around the world now. And C.L., your message is going to go out to Europe and Australia and England and Ukraine and just all over the world. And so we usually start off, Jack, I have a question for you, and then we'll just have a dialogue, and we're just so blessed to hear what you're going to update us on, because we know you're the man on the inside and know what's going on the inside.
Glad to be here with you. So glad to be here with you.
Well, great, CL. Great to see you again. Great to hear you again. So update us on what's been going on. Now, in our first podcast, we always ask our guests how it was that they came to Christ. So we have that one on record. But in the years that have transpired since we last talked with you, what has the Lord been doing in your life?
You know, since the last time, guys, and again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on with you, my fellow brothers in Christ. Since the last time we spoke, the Lord has continued to do what he has done as far as fulfilling his promises. The little church that I left before building a new church for them and becoming a part of a grassroots movement in America, the Lord spoke to me and he said, from here, I will raise up a great ministry. And I couldn't believe that because I was in basically a cow pasture. I could hear cows mooing in the distance. Mm-hmm. That's how this church was in the country. But his promise has been kept. He keeps his word. He always has. And I could not see what God was going to do from that little country church. But it leads me to say, be faithful over a few things, and God will make you ruler over many things. And not that I'm a ruler over anything except my life that God has given to me, but I dedicate that to him. Oh, he has expanded my horizons in ways that I could have never seen happening from where he brought me from. And so it was that experience, along with the rest of the life that I have lived. I pastored churches in California and here in Florida, and of course in Louisiana and Texas. But from that little church, God has done a magnificent thing. Just finished a film with Kevin Sorbo, Another Life, will be released later this year. And we are in the process of doing a film loosely based on my life. And so I have some exciting things that will be coming up with that as well.
You got
well.
A title for it?
Yes, it's called A Race for Freedom. A Race for Freedom.
Yeah, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, and I certainly look forward to sharing more about that with you as time goes by. But gentlemen, it is, I cannot say enough. I cannot boast enough in what the Lord has done, how he has protected me, watched over and provided for me, even in the loss of my wife, my first wife, Jane. He sent me another. I found another. And the scripture tells us that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And brothers, in both cases with me, it has been true.
Amen. All right. Yes. That's a wonderful testimony.
Yes. So,
can you give us an update on what American Freedom Works is doing these days?
Freedom Works is in transition, and I am still with them, although we're in transition, and it's more a streamlined operation. We are in the process of putting boots on the ground the way we had done in the past. Freedom Works has been a beacon of liberty and a light to people who understand what it is to have a smaller, more efficient government. They understand what it is to have a government by the people and for the people, with lower taxes being in that mix as well. And of course, we look at what the road ahead might look like for America. And gentlemen, I think that it's time to buckle our belts, our seat belts, because it's going to be a bumpy ride in restoring this republic to its natural order. And that is a people who give the consent from themselves to be governed by those they elect to office. I think we have let the reins go much too slack when it comes to our politicians. And because of that, I think they have run wild, and this stagecoach is headed down a very treacherous hill. And we need to slow those horses down who think they actually run the American people and boss the American people and are kings and queens over the American people. We need to send them a message that Americans will not bow down to any earthly kings. We will always stand up and push back against that, even though our reaction now in this present time has been very slow. But I think there is an awakening going on, and I believe that are indeed pushing back.
Well, amen to that. It's very discouraging as we watch, in particular, what's happening to Trump. And I'm very fearful that legally they're trying everything possible. Now, would you agree that that's a strategy that has one that we haven't really, at least in our lifetimes, we haven't seen this before? And second, would you agree that there is worse things coming down the road?
I think that anytime you take on a man of this stature, who did in fact garner, in my estimation and the numbers that I have seen, over not just 78 million American votes, but he received closer to 85 million American votes. And when you launch an attack on a man like this and you think that you're going to put him in jail without that 85 million pushing back, you're on a fool's errand. And gentlemen, if in fact the so-called powers behind this administration of Joe Biden's, if they have any sense of what our future holds as far as this type of action is concerned, America is on the brink, my friends, I'm telling you, of revolution, if in fact they stay this course. It will not stand, and 85 million votes, and probably more than that at this point in time, would actually launch in this country something that we do not want to see, especially in a representative republic like we have. It should never come to this. But because there has been a hijacking of our justice system, of our media, American people now have to ask themselves, what are they prepared to do? And I'm not talking anarchy or anything of that nature. I am saying, though, that it is time for them to inhabit the mayor's chair, inhabit the senatorial seats, the representatives' chairs, the city council chairs, the school boards. They need to inhabit those because we know what things could be like. We saw them on their way to being that way just 3 years ago. But now, ask yourself, what's the difference between now and then? And I think it become glaringly clear what the difference is.
Where do you see God's vision and mission for you moving forward in these times of trouble?
The church is a very comfortable place in instances. And like America itself, it is a comfortable place. And the church, when you're in the warm arms of fellowship in the church, we tend to become blind to a reality. And I know many church people have difficulties. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm not saying that we don't. We do. But we become blinded to an outside interference that will actually take away our right to even assemble if, in fact, we don't push back against what's happening here, especially with the transgenders and all of that type of thing, with the invasion of our southern border. And call me a Neanderthal, call me whatever you want to call me, but we know that we're right on this. You can call us right on this issue. That border should never have been as porous as it is, and I don't believe it would have been if Donald John Trump had remained president of the United States. And it won't be again if Donald John Trump becomes president of the United States. No one has any doubt about that. But with all of these things that are happening to us, God is watching a nation that he has blessed from sea to shining sea. He is watching a nation that has sung his praises and still does more than any other nation on the face of the planet. And that's what's made us the greatest nation on the face of the planet, is that unwavering trust in Almighty God by this American church. But if the American church begins to falter, as she is in many cases, then, as Reagan said, if we forget that we are a nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. And our school systems are indeed feeding and poisoning the bloodstream of young Americans, and they are teaching them that it's okay to give away their American birthright, which is most precious among all citizenships on the nation, on the country, on the planet.
Yeah, CL, I've got some friends in Ukraine, and they were over here in America last year attending a conference in Washington, D.C. And the purpose of the conference was to learn how to bring God into government, not take God out of government, but how to bring God into government in their homeland in Ukraine. And it's amazing. The churches are now becoming the light for the government. I mean, literally the light. They're providing them with generators from the churches. Yeah.
Incredible that the church in Ukraine, as oppressed as it is, and under the circumstances that they are under at this point in time, they are understanding that God needs to be in this mix all the way around. The American church, on the other hand, sometimes we become, even though we assist those churches around the country, around the world, but the American church, on the other hand, is trying to figure out more ways to entertain and bring more people into the church for the entertainment instead of the word of God. And it's the word of God. And as much as I love praise and worship, that's not what we're here for. We're here to listen and hear the word of God as it speaks to our individual hearts. And so I applaud those in Ukraine. And I certainly hope that that will be a mirror reflecting back to America of what need to be done in our government as well.
Yes, it's most distressing as we look around and see. And I've come to a thought in the last 6 months, and it just keeps recurring in my mind, which is this. I'm so thankful that there was a man named George Washington who was willing to pick up a gun and fight for that which was right. And I'm not saying like you did, like you clarified, we're not advocating picking up guns and rebelling and all this kind of thing. But we also realize that what the evil that we see that is possessing our government, that is seated in there, it may take some forceful action. I'm praying that it's not going to come to that. I'm praying that we will wake up, and it was perfect what you said, in that we need to take over school boards, and we can do that by elections. We need to take over city councils. We need to take over the mayor's office. And thank God that you're in a state where you have a governor who is ideal for the situation that you Floridians find yourselves in. Unfortunately, here in North Carolina, we haven't been able to achieve that yet. We have a Democrat governor here that we've got to get out here in this next election. But doing it legally, doing it by the will of God, and we know what that is. That means these 85 million, and I believe more than that, have got to get off their comfortable backsides and get out there and get active and vote. But as you so correctly said, you got to get involved. Agreed?
Agreed. What are you prepared to do, man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you are, in order to better your current situation? And hey, if it's bad in America, folks, if we're singing the blues in America, believe me, people are singing the blues around the globe. And our borders are porous. And many are asking questions who have never asked questions before. I see Black people. I see Hawaiians. I see people who've never asked questions before asking the question, what is going on here with us giving all this money to people who are not citizens of this country? Even God does not give to those who are not citizens of the kingdom. And you see, you have to be a part of the family. And that's why there's such a pledge to a nation that is under God. You pledge the allegiance, not just to the nation, but to the principle that that nation stands for. And the principle of that nation is that it's founded under God. I will pledge allegiance to that. But there are people who are coming into this nation who have no skin in this game whatsoever. They have no allegiance to our God or our country. And so we are in a quandary. Look at San Francisco. Look at Los Angeles, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana. Look at these places, Chicago. Look at those places. We are talking about something that Americans have not seen since the Great Depression on some of those streets. And friends, Margaret Thatcher, she was absolutely right when she said, and America will find this out, and I think many of us are, sooner or later, you run out of other people's money. And America, we're giving it away to people who are not even citizens of this nation or who have not pledged allegiance to our God or our country.
Yeah. You know, Americans are not aware that we are taking these immigrants and we're placing them in communities by large numbers so that those numbers can now have a voting impact on the local governments in those areas. And, you know, that's how they're trying to change us, by controlling the voting population in specific regions.
There is an awakening going on, Herb, here in Florida among the Latino vote. And I would say to anyone, I'm talking about the legal Latino vote, not the illegal aliens who have come into this country. I'm talking about the legal Latino vote in Florida is becoming more and more conservative. Mayor Suarez Francis down in Miami did throw his hat in the ring for president. Good man. And eventually, I imagine you'll see him make a splash on the national scene. But he's out of that now. But he's done a wonderful job. Republican mayor down there in Miami. And I have every reason to believe that this election season, you are going to see an evolution happen in the Latino vote in South Florida. God has done some amazing things with pastors there in the Haitian community in South Florida. They are becoming more and more conservative and holding more dear and preaching more true as far as scripture is concerned about societal matters like gay marriage and like unarmed abortion. They're not running from it anymore. And Christians, whether they want to hear it or not, we're to preach it, preachers. And I'm talking to everyone who is called by his name. As a Christian, you are called to minister what he has written down. And that's what we do. And if we're ostracized for it or attacked for it, then that's okay too. But why should I be ostracized or attacked for my opinion in America? And that's the whole problem that we're going to have with this Donald John Trump situation is that they're trying to muzzle the opinion of Donald John Trump.
So when was the last time you said hello to Mr. Trump?
It has been now about a year since I've actually spoken to him, but I'll be at his home on the 28th of October. And I'll tell you more about that.
That's super. In my 72 years, I'd never heard of such a thing as a transgender or gender identity problems. When I went to school, all the way through high school, even college, we never heard this stuff. Is this the famous saying from Ecclesiastes, where Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun." Apparently, I mean, this is a derivative of the homosexual and that kind of deviant movement, wouldn't you say, CL?
It is that. And the Bible speaks plainly against this type of action. Now, I want to clarify for everyone who listens is that we love people, but we must, in some cases, be able to judge actions and its effect upon societies. And friends, when you talk about, I have five daughters and four granddaughters.
And,
you know, and the thing is this, friends, and as you pointed to it, Jack, let me tell you, back in our day, that was not even a conversation because any idiot would know the difference. I mean, there was no question what the boys' room and what the girls' room was. It had written up there. That's why they taught you to read. So you didn't go in the wrong bathroom when you were a kid. You go in the boys' and then you go in the girls'. And you'd get sent home if you thought about going in the girls' bathroom. It just wasn't an issue. Our grandparents, our parents would think that we had lost our minds if they were to come back now and see the things that we're talking about and the things we're voting on and the type of people who are in fact driving the conversation in this country. And so, yes, we have gotten so far afield as far as that is concerned that we need to turn our faces back toward home. And that is the American foundational principles of we are endowed by our creator our founders thought it was so important that we that they put that in our founding documents. They told us that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among them is life, liberty, and the pursuit of our happiness. And if we leave out that portion of the endowment that it was given to us by the Creator, then the liberty and the freedom that we have, they began to go away, because He is the only one who is able to grant that liberty and freedom to individual humanity.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard it said better. Wow.
It's so sad to say, and so sad to see that what's happening in our public schools. It's amazing what's happening in the charter schools and the Christian schools. Their populations are exploding beyond imagination, because the woke public schools are not providing the Christian foundational training that's needed for our young people today.
And I would caution everyone to pay attention to the curriculum of your children, whether they are in charter schools or if they are in Christian school, yes, or if you're homeschooling. And I challenge you to pay close attention to the curriculum that your children are absorbing. The reason why is most of the curriculum is written by those in the age groups of 35 to 45 years of age. And not to be an ageist at all, and as Reagan so famously said to Mondale, you know, is that I won't take advantage of your youth and inexperience. It's talk about that. But there are some who are writing curriculum who are inexperienced as far as the way we were raised.
Yeah.
They were raised in a very different type of mindset, with a different type of mindset. And that is many times seeping in to the curriculum of schools who are chartered and homeschooled and church schools. So I just encourage everyone to pay close attention to even what's coming out in the curriculums of those, because there's a poisoning. You can't smell, I'm told, arsenic, and you can't taste arsenic, but there is a poisoning of our young people that is going on the web, the internet, and of course on television, but also very subtly, like a snake almost, very serpentine. It's in almost everything that they touch. And so I can't say that there's a communist behind every tree just because you can't see them, but friends, it doesn't mean that they're not there. And so that's all. And that's something that Alan Keyes once shared with me, and we laughed about that. But I don't know, maybe there is some truth to that. Just because we don't see communists behind every tree, maybe it doesn't mean that they're not there. And yeah. So here we are. That's what we have to.
Yeah. So CL, as I mentioned, you know, we have listeners in other countries. And this may be the first time that they've had the opportunity to see you. Now, you have a national talk radio show. So tell our listeners how that they can connect with your shows and hear what you're doing in the future.
By all means, just download VCL Bryant Show, VCL Bryant Show. It's a free download. We're over Red State Talk Radio, the largest talk platform in America. And I encourage everybody to download even Red State. Red State's a free download as well. And so I look forward to having you on with me, Herb, in the very near future, you and Jack. And I listen, God bless you and God keep you is my prayer for you. And I certainly do appreciate this. And if you want to see my movie, my film, Runaway Slave, it's on Tubi. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home and see Runaway Slave on Tubi. And thank you again so much for this opportunity.
Okay, brother, it's been a pleasure, I tell you. We respect you. We love you as a brother. And we pray for you, my friend.
Likewise, my brothers and my friends. And God bless you and keep you till we meet again.
Well, listeners, we had an exciting 100th episode with Reverend C.L. Bryant here. I will post on our video, as well as our podcast site, links on how to get to the C.L. Bryant radio show, the National Talk Radio Show, so that they can see that link. I'll also post some images on a book he wrote called Another Life. Is that what it was?
Or yeah, A Race for Freedom is my book.
Okay, A Race for Freedom,
The movie that I just finished with Kevin.
Another Life.
Another Life.
Okay.
It'll be out before the end of the year. Screen Actors Guild strike has slowed everything down.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, listeners.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.